and welcome back to another episode of the Tomahawk Take Podcast. I am your host, Jake Mastriani, and with me, as always, is Alan.
Hello.
And Fred.
Hello there.
And guys, we are through a month of the season now, into a couple of days into May, or about a week into May now. And as we talked about last week, this NL East division, it's going to be a battle like we thought it would, but maybe it's going to be a battle of some mediocre teams. I still think the teams in the East are better than what their records show right now. But currently, the Phillies lead the NL East with a 17-15 record. And the Mets are behind them, just a game back, and the Braves a game and a half back after their win on Thursday. But speaking of the Braves, they continue this up and down trend in this season where they'll lose four and they'll win three or four, and then they'll lose another series. And this past week, they get swept by the Blue Jays, and now they sweep the Nationals. Alan, it's really just kind of this roller coaster for the Braves right now. It's, you know, hard for them to find any consistency. They need somebody to stop those losing streaks, whether it be the pitcher or the offense. You know, it seems like they'll have a good game pitching and then they won't hit. So, really just, I mean, bottom line, just a very inconsistent team right now.
Yeah, and I think that the pitching is probably the leader of that inconsistency trend, I guess. They seem to be giving up a lot of runs in a lot of ways, and that's been a problem, which is why in the last 3 days we've had better pitching and the Nationals haven't been able to hit, and that combination worked for the team, and they got their sweep. So now we got to go to Philadelphia and figure out if they can do the same thing there now. I don't really know what to make of this overall. It's like a trend around the league overall. I mean, we saw the Dodgers start off 13-2, and all of a sudden they've dropped a whole bunch, and they're in that third place at 17-15. It's kind of crazy to see what's going on all over the place. You got the Cardinals now leading. You got the Brewers behind them. That's not terribly unexpected, but other than that, every other division, it seems like, has been sort of upside down. So I don't know that it's necessarily the Braves, but it's certainly a trend around baseball. I got to wonder if this isn't some sort of after effect of the weird year that we had last year to some extent.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and Fred, I wonder if it has anything to do with the injuries, because there just seems to be a lot more injuries this year, and it kind of just depends on when you catch a team. You know, the Braves get Max Fried back in this series, and that's obviously a huge boost. Meanwhile, the Nationals are without Soto, who can't play in the field, just able to pinch hit. And, you know, Alan mentioned the Dodgers, they're without Bellinger. There just seems to be a lot of injuries around the league, and it could be a factor for some of this inconsistency that we're seeing from a lot of teams.
I think it's directly related to all the pitching injuries. I mean, pitchers are dropping like flies, and they didn't get enough innings last year. Their spring trainings were cut short. They were sent home. They come back out. They do an almost spring training. They go in and they pitch like their relief pitchers, most of them. I mean, obviously Anderson and a couple few others didn't, but a lot of them pitched like they were relief pitchers. And then they sit out the winter and they start their routine. And they come back this year and they're not stretched out. And when you sit around like that, you feel stronger. And if you feel stronger, you throw harder, and maybe your mechanics aren't right, and suddenly you've got a sore shoulder, a sore lat, a flexor tendon, tightness in the forearm. All these things are related, I think, to the bad year, as is the hitting, because, you know, the ones that didn't hit really well last year, they're going to get better, but the ones who hit well, they've come back to earth pretty hard, and that, I think that is related. It's all related around this, the pitching thing, because last year the pitchers were either really good or really bad, and the hitters were either really good and really bad, and this year everybody's fallen down hurt, and I think there's a relationship to it. I asked Tim Dirks about this, in the insider thing. He said that they're working on something, but they haven't got any data yet, but, empirically, I'd say there's a direct relationship to that.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's happening too frequently to a lot of players, to a lot of teams. I mean, I cover the Brewers as well. They've been without Yelich most of the year, Kane a lot of the year. Burns is gone for now COVID. They've had almost 20 players. I think they're at 20 players they put on the IL this year. That's, you know, an extreme amount. They're on the high end, obviously. But Yeah, a lot of teams just struggling with injuries, and that hurts the consistency when you're constantly having guys coming in and out of the lineup. You know, the Braves missing catcher now with Travis d'Arnaud down. They've obviously been without Freed and Soroka a lot. So it's just hard to really find that consistent drive when you're constantly losing players and then getting them back. But speaking of somebody who came back, I talked about a little bit earlier. The Braves got Max Fried back this week, and a huge boost for the Braves, and he was solid coming back. Went five innings, gave up just the one run on four hits and a walk with six strikeouts through 72 pitches. Obviously still kind of working his way back up. Lowered his ERA, Allen, to 8.44. So certainly great for him and good to have Max back, and hopefully he starts to look more like the Max we're used to.
It is, and you know, you mentioned he went five innings, and that sort of feeds directly into what Fred was telling us a minute ago, is that the pitchers are being treated with kid gloves when they are healthy, and it's going to wear on the bullpens and such. And that's why we were all holding our breath today in the third game of that of the national sweep, in that we were using the back end of the bullpen to try and save this third game. And that's direct a result of using a lot of innings from these guys, as it was, you know, got him some innings on the first game, but Freed a little short, as was probably expected. The only real saving thing is the fact that Smiley actually got him into the seventh inning today. That was the big surprise. Who knew that the Nationals would be the cure-all for Smiley's ails and woes. So, yeah, great to see Max back, though, and that certainly gives the Braves a chance to get another 1-2-3 combination together of he, Anderson, and Morton, and then now, you know, really as a fourth one if he continues to do the great work he's done. So things seem to be looking up if we can keep everybody healthy and then and get some things going here.
Yeah, Smiley's only allowed to pitch against the Nationals now the rest of the year because outside of them it's not been pretty. But, yeah, definitely a big game for him on Thursday, going six innings. He did walk four, but only allowed four hits. Gave up the one unearned run and just four strikeouts. But tried to go into the seventh inning. Even, you know, you talk about, you know, not wanting to use that back of the bullpen there. Snickers trying to get him through the seventh, but unable to do so with that leadoff walk. And Snicker had to pull him, bring in Luke Jackson, who, of course, as always, makes it interesting, but found his way out of it once again. But going back to Freed, Fred, look at there. Going back to Freed, he, you know, having him back, like Alan said, it kind of gives you four guys in the starting rotation who, you know, you can depend on, and him and Morton and Anderson and now Enoa. You know, that'll help, you know, stop some of these losing streaks. They haven't really had that ace-type guy who can, you know, give you six, seven shutout innings to help you stop a losing streak like Freed is capable of.
Yeah, and the thing about Max was that he was just simply out of time. If you watched the pregame of that, you saw that he was rushing everything, and so his arm was having to hurry and catch up, and that made him lose it. When he came back, he's got his mechanics down, and he's throwing smooth again, and Max is going to be fine. Max will be fine. He'll be giving you six and seven innings pretty soon, and you know, God bless you, Noah. I hope he continues to pitch well, because he's worked really hard for this, and he's been the one who stepped up when, just like Max last year, when everybody else struggled, Noah stepped up. Even Anderson struggled, and Noah stepped up into the box, and he was the guy that threw his hat out there and said, "This streak doesn't go any farther." And you gotta love that. Smiley, boy, I didn't know the Nationals were this bad, but I'm glad he got through that today, because if we'd have had to go to the pen early, it could have been real nasty. And I just hope that Enoa and Max and Anderson can Morton get back on track. He's okay, but he's not himself. If they can get back on track, it doesn't matter who pitches in the fifth spot, really. And you know, we're like two-thirds of the way there. Now we just need to keep pushing that forward and hoping nobody falls down.
Yeah. And speaking of, you know, we can kind of go there next because, you know, what he has done for this team to start the season is nothing short of amazing, honestly. I mean, like you said, he has picked the rotation up when they've needed it. He's been a stopper for this team, which was unexpected. He has a 2.36 ERA in 34 and a third innings with 38 strikeouts and a whip of 0.903. And that's just the pitching side of things. He's also been the second best hitter for this Braves team behind Acuna to start the year. He obviously had the grand slam on Tuesday. Alan, what do you make of this start from Enoa? You know, before you answer, let me just say we've talked about it before in the fact that it seems like he always ran into that. He always had kind of good stuff, you know, that you believed could at least be a middle rotation type starter. And he's obviously looked better than that at times this year. But we talked about it before where it's just that one inning that he's always had. And we saw it in spring training too. If he could get over that one inning, get through that one inning where things seem to snowball for him, if he could get through that, then he could be a really good pitcher. And there was one start particular in spring training where he ran into that and was able to push through it and get out of the inning. And ever since then, it seems like things have started to click for him.
Well, you just said what I was thinking, which is that once you get a guy to the confidence point where he thinks he can do just about anything in terms of damage control or getting through a crisis, then it's like everything falls into place. You're looking through his minor league stats here. There's nothing really that jumps out and says that he was going to do this kind of thing. He's got years of ERAs of five. His stint in Florida with the Fire Frogs, he had an 8 ERA in 24 innings. That year is 4.5. With Gwinnett, it was 5.33. With Mississippi in 2019, 5.27. So there's nothing that jumps out and says, wow, this guy could really be something for your rotation. Yet all of a sudden, you've gotten a guy who's gotten his confidence. He's got his stuff working. And the team obviously recognized he had some talent because they've given him the shot. And clearly, they're right about this, because here he is still not even 23 years old. That happens in a couple of weeks, and he's pitching like he's a grizzled veteran out there. Never mind the hitting. Sort of channeling Tony Cloninger here from the Braves past. So I'm just thrilled to see what's happening here. This is not anything that most people would have projected, but it's certainly welcomed and kind of shot in the arm that the Braves certainly needed.
Yeah, and Fred, it's certainly not sustainable. Hopefully I'm not hurting anybody's feelings by saying that, but I mean, what he's doing is Cy Young MVP type worthy stuff. I don't think that's sustainable just based on his track record, but confidence is an amazing thing. And we talked about that a lot with Kyle Wright and Bryce Wilson too. If they can just get that confidence that they can be good at this level, then perhaps they will be. But Enoa's confidence level has to be at an all-time high right now. And certainly I think that's playing a factor into it.
Well, I think part of that is that he knows who he is and he knows what he can do and he doesn't try to do anything else. And I know that sounds kind of simple, but he's not out there to be the ace. He's out there trying to do what he does. He pounds you with the fastball. He pounds you with the fastball. He throws that little slider up there. Every now and then he'll throw a changeup that you please don't swing at. But he's up there with that fastball, and he's beating you to death with it. And about the time you think you've got it, he says, now's my time. And he'll flip that little slider up there, and they'll go crazy. And he just knows what he can do, and he does that. And he's been fortunate to work with Jackson and Contreras in the minor league. And they know what he can do, and that gives him a comfort zone that they know what I want to do, and they can throw it, and I can throw it, and they're going to stop it. So you run into pitchers like this who pop up out of nowhere and hang around. Chris Medlin was like a 16th round draft pick, and the odds of those guys coming in and doing it are very slim. But there's no reason, as long as he keeps doing what he does and doesn't try to get nobody tries to make him something he's not, I think he'll be fine. When we did the talk earlier this year with the ESPN prospects, he said, well, he's just a guy, he's a reliever. But you, nobody told you no of that. So he went out and proved to me, said, I can start, and he went out and started. So I think that's your confidence point is exactly right. And also it's a belief that belief in myself. I know what I can do. I know how well I can do it. And maybe I didn't do it well yesterday or the day before, but I'm going to do it well today. And that mental attitude is so important. And you look at the way he pitches and you listen to him after the games. And the young man is so grounded and so sure of what he can and can't do and what he needs to do, that it's wonderful to see that.
And while he's been the big surprise on the positive side for the Braves this year, we got to talk about the negative, and that's Freddie Freeman. I mean, we're over a month into the season now, and he's batting .202. You thought maybe he was kind of breaking out of things in that Cubs series. He had that four-hit game. But since then, I think he's like 1-for-23 or 24 at the plate. He got a day off on Thursday. Alan, I don't know what's going on. Just body language, Freddie hasn't looked right to me all year. I don't know if it's an extension thing. I don't know if it's having three kids all of a sudden thing, what it is. But he just hasn't seemed right to me all year.
I haven't even got a clue where this has come from and why he might be slumping the way he is. But I was suggesting laughingly earlier that Anthony Rizzo probably messed him up. But it's more than just that, obviously. And I really don't get it. I don't know if he's chasing. I need to do a little more research to see if maybe everybody's just continuing to not throw him strikes and he's chasing the balls. It doesn't feel like that's what's happening, but he is certainly missing a lot of things that he used to be able to drive. And I don't understand that. I just don't have a good answer for you because it's just out of the blue like this, and we have not seen this kind of a slump for Freddie at this kind of a length for his entire career. So you got to believe he's going to snap out of it at some point. He's healthy. He should be ready to go. And I am glad that they were able to give him a break in the game today so he could get a day off and maybe recharge and think about tomorrow a little bit and then go out and do it again. And let's see what happens, see if that helps him.
Yeah, Fred, I mean, when he first came up, I mean, he'd go through hot and cold streaks like any young player trying to adjust to the league. But, you know, for the past 6-7 years, I mean, he's been one of the more consistent players in all of baseball. So to see him go through a prolonged stretch like this and it not be related to an injury. I know he had a slump a couple of years ago. I think it was in the 2019 that was related, you know, to an injury. But we, you know, aren't used to seeing prolonged slumps like this from Freeman. And so it's, you know, while I think he'll obviously come out of it and be fine, but it's just a little discouraging, little, I don't know, worrisome to see him, you know, struggle this long into the season.
Yeah, I'm not sure he isn't injured. I mean, he took that shot, throw when David Bodie threw back to first base and hit him in the elbow. And we sort of blew that off, him in the funny bone and this, that, and the other thing. And I'm wondering if that isn't a little worse than we'd like to think it is. He's not going to tell us first off, and neither is Snicker because Freddie go in and turn his desk over. So, it's either that, and there's the other thing about this is when he was asked 10 days ago about the extension, he seemed to be less than thinking about that. And I'm wondering maybe there's some of that kicked in there too. I mean, I don't want to take this someplace that hasn't gone elsewhere, but it just seems like sometimes he's up there and he knows what he's supposed to do, but he's just not. His heart doesn't seem in it sometimes. And I wonder, it looked like this when his wrist was hurt. And maybe that's it. Maybe the elbow's still giving him jip. And if so, Boy, I don't know how you get out of that because he's going to play. And without him, the lineup is really in bad shape. So I don't know. I'm like Alan. I wish we had an answer. I wish we had a way to get an answer, but I don't think there is one.
Yeah, no, that, I guess that's what's more the frustrating part of it too, is that, you know, we're trying to make these, you know, opinions basically from 1,000 feet away. And, you know, like you said, to me, just reading body language, like you kind of said, sometimes it just doesn't seem like his heart's in it this year, which is unlike Freddie. You know, he doesn't even seem as happy-go-lucky as he normally has been in the past. But again, that's me just trying to read somebody that I've never met, never talked to. You know, perhaps there's an injury there. I don't know. And like you said, he's not going to tell us. He's going to try to play through it. Because like, again, like you said, if you don't have him in the lineup, things look really bad. I mean, I know they got the win on Thursday without him, but they scored 3 runs in that game. It's not like it was an offensive explosion. So, they need him in that lineup, even just his presence in there. I mean, he's still getting his walks. You know, they need Freeman in there, need him to be the, not necessarily even the MVP type Freddie Freeman, because I think they have that in Acuna now, but, he's got to be a big force at the top of that order in order for this lineup to do what it's capable of doing. And then one more kind of depressing matter to talk about is the bullpen. Alan, I feel like we've been saying this for two straight podcasts now, but when they get Chris Martin back, I think things will be okay. It'll settle down. We thought last week, we talked, you know, getting Newcomb back and then Martin coming back, things will be okay. And now Newcomb's been optioned after a couple of bad outings. But hopefully Martin's supposed to be doing some rehab games for Gwinnett over the weekend and could be back next week. I think he'll definitely be a big boost in the bullpen for the right-handed side. I mean, we're bringing in Josh Tomlin, Luke Jackson from the right-handed side right now. They finally optioned Nate Jones. Didn't know he had options. If so, why was he not optioned a long time ago? But anyway, you know, this bullpen is just a struggle. I mean, you saw what the B squad, you know, did on Thursday and they got through it. But I mean, by the, you know, without sweating it out, and you had Will Smith there, obviously your closer to close things out. But that 7th and 8th inning, were very troubled. You got Edgar, Santana coming in there trying to get out. It's just really rough right now in this Braves bullpen. There's not a lot of arms you can go to that you trust.
Well, I think you're trying to save the bullpen for the Philadelphia series coming up. So, yeah, Jackson, Santana, and Dayton were used today. And I don't know how in the world they got through all that either. But, there's some guys that shouldn't be there. I think by now the teams know what they got and they know what they need, and they're not going to be able to get what they need for a while. I guess if there was another arm that could come up that could do something good, then they would be doing that, whether it be Newcomb, Carl Edwards Jr., or somebody else. But right now it's this section of the bullpen, at least, that's the troublesome spot. And you can't pitch the good guys all the time, so you're going to have to give them some breaks every now and then, and that's where you get games like this where you usually have a bullpen blowing something, but somehow, some way, they got through that today. So there's at least one for the plus side column, and we'll have to see the next time that it happens. This, of course, underscores the importance of having starters that can go deep into games, 6-7 innings at least, because every time you don't, every time you go 4 or 5, then that really stretches your bullpen out and causes situations like this. So you don't want to get into games like that if you can avoid it. And happily, if the starters are getting healthy and the starters are getting stretched out, that'll help the bullpen too.
Yeah, and Fred, did I miss somewhere? Did Jacob Webb get optioned? Because he wasn't used at all in this series.
I didn't see anything about him getting optioned. The only thing one I saw was the optioning of Nate Jones. They need to give Jacob Webb more innings, in my opinion. He's been pretty good. It may be that the last time he pitched, he threw more than one inning, didn't he? So maybe they didn't want to run him out there too quickly, and Smith thought he had everything in hand, and maybe he's trying to keep something for late in the game in case it went to the 10th inning. I don't know. But you're right. He wasn't there. I don't know how Jackson keeps dancing through raindrops out there and not giving up a boatload of runs, but he's been doing that for ever since, been since 2018. And again, we all talked about it. We did the FAD. We would have non-tendered him last year along with a couple others. So I don't know. I think Martin coming back is important. At the same time, I don't know that that's enough. I mean, yeah. You know, if you just replace pitcher A with pitcher B, you still got at least two others out there that probably shouldn't be there. So, you know, and Alan, there's nobody's going to give anything up now. Ken Rosenthal said they, point that we usually make that is, the teams don't do anything in the first, third of the season. And so they'll be looking around and they'll be answering the telephone and things. But any calls now are just, hey, you know, what's going on over there, buddy? And, you know, we're talking about this. What do you think you'll be doing? Blah, this, that, and the other thing. They get something down and say, okay, in May, now here's what we need, okay? Then they start in May to find what they need, and in June they go after it, and then you get it in July. And that's generally the way it works, and barring an injury that has to be fixed right now. So I don't even know where they go. I guess Shane Green is the common thing on the web, but there's 30 teams out there that need a relief pitcher, and none of them have signed Shane Green yet, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is right now other than to just hope these guys get healthy and hope they can pitch well. Because at the beginning of the season, like I said, if you have Martin and Smith and you have Matzik and you have Minter doing what they're capable of and doing what they did last season, you know, other than Smith who had a rough go of it last year, I think this bullpen can be solid. It's those guys at the bottom that on days like this where you can't use your top guys, like Alan said, where things get pretty sketchy. So, yeah, I think the bullpen is going to be a work in progress. Like you said, even getting Martin back, there's still more moves that need to be made. But, again, like you said, that's probably on down the line. Teams aren't ready to really make those moves at this moment.
You got what you got.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So you just got to hope they improve. Hope maybe you get a surprise from the minors that comes up. Maybe it is Carl Edwards Jr. I know he pitched – I think in their opener the other night for Gwinnett and was really good. So maybe he's that guy. You know, maybe there's a surprise down there. Maybe you ring up a young arm like a Kyle Mueller, or maybe you put Bryce Wilson in the bullpen. You know, you got to hope you get a couple of surprises here that step up. A bit of news that's not shocking, but at the same time shocking, the Braves brought back Tyler Flowers. We've been saying it for a while now that eventually they'll bring back Tyler Flowers, and now they have brought him back on a minor league deal. So, Alan, what was your first thoughts on the signing, and how many games do you think Flowers catches for the Braves this year?
I am still trying to figure out why they're doing this. If Mathis was going to be the veteran baggage carrier for Contreras, and the only thing I can come up with, and really it sounded from the descriptions I've been seeing from the beat writers that they believe that Flowers is being signed because they want to bring him to the majors. So is he better than Mathis? Not sure that he is. All indications I've seen have heaped a lot of praise on Jeff Mathis, so I don't know that he is that kind of guy. So the only other thing I can figure is maybe, possibly, they want to run Contreras back to the minors to get more seasoning, less pressure time, maybe save some service time considerations, perhaps. I can't even imagine why they'd want to do that, given that Contreras has the bat that they should have in this lineup and not those other two guys. But I just don't quite get it right now. It seems a little odd that this timing works this way. At the same time, it doesn't surprise me that they have eventually gotten Flowers going. I just didn't expect it to see him perhaps usurp Mathis in the process. And I guess we're going to have to see how this thing plays out, but I'm a little curious.
Yeah, and Fred, I know you're excited and pumped to have Flowers back.
I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. I want to see somebody who outweighs me back and behind the plate. it doesn't make any sense. Jeff Mathis is, by all definitions, the best backup catcher left in the game. He's better defensively than he blocks, actually blocks balls in the dirt. And he's hit as well as Flowers as well. So if you're signing Flowers, you know that he's not going to play in the minor leagues, so he's going to come up. You're either going to let the best backup catcher in the league go and the hope that Pudgy from last year is better, or you're going to send Contreras down, and neither one of those things makes sense to me. I don't understand it. He hasn't hit for 2 years, and there's no reason to believe he'll hit now. My mind is boggled, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good way of putting it. Like when I saw the announcement, I mean, I just, you know, audibly laughed out loud because it was the most obvious Braves thing ever to do. And then I saw you put in the chat, you know, where's the call for Markakis? Cause he's probably next. But yeah, I don't get it either. And seeing the bat of Contreras, I mean, let that play. I know he's going to have his lumps behind the plate, but I mean, he's already been 10 times better at the plate than Alex Jackson was. And I know we were all on board early on for Contreras getting the roster spot over Jackson, or at least I was. I think y'all were as well, but I don't know. With TDA being out, you know, for a while, maybe the whole season, you know, having Contreras back there to give you some offense, especially for a lineup that struggled a little bit out of the gates, I just think you need him in there. He doesn't look overmatched. Now, maybe that happens over time after the league adjusts to him, but yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, you got Mathis. Unless you're going to get Flowers and keep him in the minors as a backup in case Mathis goes down or Contreras goes down. But like you said, if they're bringing in Flowers, they're most likely going to bring him up to the big leagues. And at that point, you're going to have to make a decision that doesn't make sense. But that will do it for this episode of the Tomahawk Take podcast. Make sure that you check out our work over on the website at tomahawktake.com. And make sure that you follow us on Twitter at TomahawkTakeFS. And we will talk to you next time.
This has been the Same Song, Different Verse edition of the Tomahawk Take podcast, where we try to conjure up more reasons why this team isn't playing up to its talent level. It's nonetheless a production of TomahawkTake.com and Fansided LLC, a subsidiary of Minute Media, Inc. Opinions expressed on the show today are solely those of the participants because Minute Media has washed their hands of the whole affair. All rights reserved. One of the musical selections used today comes to you under the auspices of the Creative Commons license, terms of which are available at creativecommons.org/licenses/by/4.0. This was a piece by Kevin MacLeod entitled Comic Plotting. His works are featured at incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other selections used come via rights purchased by tomahawktake.com. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today, and yeah, we pretty much predicted the arrival of Tyler Flowers in this space last week. You're welcome. We'll see you out for the next inning.